Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Well, America, I can tell you, is dominating all the news once again between Greenland and fires and funerals, and we'll come to all of that in a second. But in Irish politics, we'll be expecting it to kind of wake up and smell the January any minute now. The caretaker government is in place while the new government takes shape, which will be all of the same people, just in slightly different positions after a bit of jiggery-pokery, like in Junior Infants and the musical chairs. Remember those? Except, of course, in this case, the infants will, if they get a chair, they get 200 grand a year, a car, and expenses the size of a salary for a stay-at-home mammy. See yesterday's programme for further details. Now, one of the most eye-catching aspects of the whole jiggery-pokery for a government is that the Healy Ray TDs are now in serious talks with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael about forming part of or providing support to this renewed coalition, separate from the Michael Lowry lovies, that is. So part of the deal would involve making Michael Healy Ray, who is one of the sharpest political minds in the country, they would make Michael Healy Ray a super junior minister, which would put him inside the cabinet room. Now, this would be a stunning change of scenery for the Kilgarvan businessman, I don't mean to tell you. And it would also mean perhaps that the country would be robbed of his hugely entertaining shouting matches against government ministers in the Dáil, which are so badly needed for those of us who have to write comedy shows and find funny moments to distract us from the terrible nature of politics in general. Anyway, here's a compilation, it's Friday, why not, of some of the best-loved Michael Mayhem, mostly, by the way, directed towards the party leaders he's now considering lepping into the labba with. So get your earplugs ready. Michael Healy Ray's in his finest flow.
You should take that back! You're a disgrace! You're all in the bottom of the barrel now, coming out with that sort of a statement! And cop on a small bit, Taoiseach. And conduct. God damn it, that's an awful thing to say.
He's a horrible little man. He can't contain himself.
I am speaking.
He's a horrible man.
I'm happy to use the word untruth.
That's a bit wrong. Thank you, Chair.
Continue.
Horrible little man.
I am elected here every bit as good as you are.
Thank you, Deputy.
And you know, maybe a lot better than you are. But the funny thing about it is, I wouldn't dare to look down my nose at you or anyone else because I don't do that. But maybe you do because
Thank
you're
you,
a bit
Deputy,
of a big
please,
shot. But like I say, off we do with the airy fairies and see how far it will get you. Just remember and let the message go out from the floor of Dáil Éireann. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, you have lost rural Ireland in a way you will never get it back and never be trusted again.
It's a lie and I'm asking you, are you going to withdraw it? On the record of the Dáil, yes or no?
I'm entitled to make comments that I make. I make it in the best of good faith.
You can't do that to somebody last count, Conor. You cannot do it.
Stop shouting, please.
I love how you can hear him even when he's wildly off mic. You can just hear him bellowing across the Dáil. There's some sharp exchanges in there, aren't there? Particularly in his views of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. That was all to do with carbon taxes and so on along the way. And the bit at the start, the best bit of all.
You should take that back!
That is Michael Healy Ray to Micheál Martin. And the two of them could be soon the very best of friends, despite all that they've said and the slanging and haranguing. But mind you, his voters would be very pleased with him down in Kerry if he makes it into cabinet with all the spoils that would entail for the region, although the reason they've been elected and they get about 38% of the vote together, the Hugh Healy Ray's first preference votes, is because of the access to public services that they get to people down there. Now, leaving that aside, to America, where happily in the sad stories, the LA wildfires, they are calming down and coming under control thanks to the Santa Ana winds dying down. And that is, you know, the whole story of the natural world, isn't it? That it's untamable, even in a place with the money and power of Californian riches. They are the worst fires in LA history. Many people have died. We don't know the death toll yet. And on top of the tragedy, $50 billion worth of damage. $50 billion, can you imagine? And even with all of that happening, there are these bad actors. And I don't mean what's going on in Hollywood. Gambling companies took wagers on when the fires would end. There were an increase and they believe more arson attacks happening during the wildfires because people are trying to take advantage fraudulently to make insurance claims on failing businesses or houses in debt and pointing out, oh, that was part of the wildfires. And then you have the extreme Republicans who are claiming that woke politics, which California is famous for in that state, that they're to blame for the spread of the fires between the water, which of course has been dismissed by facts. But they've even been suggesting en masse on places like Fox News and other places that too much diversity hiring has led to kind of lesser quality people in the fire service, including the female chief of fire services in LA. There is obviously no objective truth to those claims, but America's Masters this week have decided to turn off all the fact-checking forever. So this is what we can look forward to for good coming out of over there. Now, moving to the other side of the country, Jimmy Carter's funeral was overnight in Washington. And the former president, as you know, he's the first to reach a century old. He reached 100 last year and he died just 2 weeks ago. And his funeral was VIP central. All five living presidents were in attendance, if you're counting poor old Joe Biden. But we are. And by the way, side note, Joe Biden has become the first sitting US president to become a great grandfather while in office, even though he's got, what, 10 days left. Here is Stephen Colbert's talk show last night about this important Biden announcement, which he made in California.
And at the press conference, Biden also made a personal announcement.
But the good news is, I'm a great-grandfather as of today. I'm a granddaughter. 10 pounds, 4 ounce baby girl, baby boy.
Congratulations, Mr. President, but I gotta say, there it is, the future the GOP warned us about. Your child starts out as a girl, but by the end of the sentence, she's a boy. You happy, Democrats?
Woke politics, got completely mad. That was his granddaughter, Joe Biden's granddaughter, Naomi Biden-Neal, gave birth to a 10-pound baby boy. And his name is, I have it here in front of me, it's written here somewhere. There it is, yes, William Brannan Neal the Fourth. They love putting in kind of like fourths and thirds, don't they, in American households. And it's the first child of Miss Biden Neal and Peter Neal, who are married on the White House lawns in November 2022. So great grandfather, Joe Biden. Will he make it to 100? Anyway, back to the funeral. You've got the world leaders gathered there. Justin Trudeau, freshly resigned, but he remains Canadian Prime Minister. Looking mortified, he's sitting next to Britain's representative, who's Prince Edward. But all eyes on the presidential benches. Everybody is there. Former First Ladies as well. Not Michelle Obama, by the way. She was due to be seated right next to her husband, Barack, which will be won over from Donald Trump. However, sadly, she was unable to attend due to what they're calling an unspecified scheduling conflict. And this is a phrase you need to borrow from now on, going, I can't be there, unspecified scheduling conflict. And her unspecified scheduling conflict was in Hawaii. I mean, like, nobody needs to kind of rush to Hawaii to do something vital. It's like saying, no, sorry, I cannot make your wedding afters. Thank you for the invite to the afters of your wedding, but I have very urgent business in Thunderland due to an unspecified scheduling conflict. Anyway, so let's visualize the scene. You've got the funeral pews, Donald Trump, obviously the main guy there, all eyes on him. But look at the scenario in just three rows in and around him. You've got Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Kamala Harris right in front of Trump, George W. Bush of the Bush dynasty. You've got Mike Pence, his former Veep of January 6th, Hang Mike Pence fame. And of course, you've got Melania Trump. Here's Desi Leidick of The Daily Show on this situation.
Just think about the history there. Trump tried to put her in prison, accused him of murder, said he was the secret Muslim founder of ISIS, said she was pretending to be black, ended his entire family dynasty, almost got him murdered, tried to overthrow his presidency, and paid off a porn star behind her back. And by the way, basically all of them have said that he's Hitler.
That is the fun they're having on the late night shows overnight with the everybody awkwardly standing around. I wonder, will they all be there again, won't they, for the inauguration in 10 days' time? It's, I think, Monday week or so. Back to Ireland. Colm Meaney's in the news. Why he's received the Irish Film and Television Academy's Lifetime Achievement Award. That's the IFTA Lifetime Award in the is happening next month, basically. So he is an Olivia Award nominee, Golden Globe nominee, and described the Liaison a great source of pride and joy. Colm Meaney, you could name all the things he's been in, although it feels like every Irish movie has contained my Colm Meaney at some point. I mean, I was even thinking this morning, is he in Intermission? I can't remember. Famously known for his role as Chief Miles O'Brien in the Star Trek franchise, but I think best known to us for all the Roddy Doyle films, The Snapper, A1 Sharon and all that. So previous recipients, he joins the list of the Lifetime Achievers, including Stephen Ray, Brian Murray, Judi Dench, Gabriel Byrne, Jim Sheridan, Fionnuala Flanagan and Maureen O'Hara. So The Commitments, The Snapper, The Van, The Dead, Under Siege. Oh yeah, I forgot there was a kind of mad action hero time as well. The Damned United. And there's more recently the Ireland set comedy The Problem with People. And he's got a new film coming out in February, Bring Them Down. That feels like something he's made already, does it? Possibly. Other breaking news this morning are RTÉ's released the figures for the most watched television programmes in 2024. 2024, obviously a year of Olympics. There was an election in Euro, so it's a huge, huge year for television here and in Virgin Media as well. Sport always dominates. Now, the Late Late Toy Show remains that cultural phenomenon. It is number one on the list, as it nearly always is. What is it? 1,525,800 people watch the Late Late Toy Show there in December. Number two on the list, it's always a battle between rugby and the GAA, and I can tell you the rugby has won out quite decisively against GAA matches this year because Ireland-France was the second most watched thing, just over a million and 77,000, whereas the hurling final between Clare and Cork on RT2 was just behind it with 1,046,000. Then it comes out of the millions. You've got England, Ireland and the Six Nations. Then it goes to the UEFA Euro Finals. Spain, England, of course, huge interest over here. And the football final comes in, and the GAA football final. In sixth place, Armagh Galway got 889,000. And there's loads of Six Nations matches that dominate. And the only kind of, after the toy show, the only non-sports programme that gets into the top most watched programmes of 2024 is at 13, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here on Virgin Media One. But of course, that included Barry McGuigan. So there was huge Irish interest. And Maura Higgins of Longford was also in I'm a Celeb. What else made the list? The Late Late Toy Show, of course, yes, top of the spot there. Home-produced documentaries. Well, actually, I want to jump to the sport because it's fascinating here. Individual performers say not captured in programme averages, but they can tell us that the most popular things with Irish viewers were Kelly Harrington's gold medal performance. During that Olympics coverage, it peaked at 1.4 million viewers. Then you've got Rashida Adeleke's women's in the 400-metre final, an incredible performance, went to 926,000. And the four women, which included Rashida, 4x400 metre relay final, our first ever, peaking at 910,000. All of those are Irish women in sport dominating those figures, which is extraordinary. And as I say, outside of sport, what else made it into the most watched programmes last year? Bishop Casey's Buried Secrets. We love our history. Dancing with the Stars is there as well. The Tommy Tiernan Show made it in. The Rose of Tralee, again, another cultural phenomenon. The New Year's Eve Live, which was the Late Late Show, and Keane to Crow Live in Dublin Castle. And Fair City, always in there as well. And The Young Offenders being the top comedy, so top 50. And they'll be pouring over that in the papers all over the place at the moment. 087. 032 32 32 is the WhatsApp. On Jimmy Carter's funeral, says this messenger, Mike Pence and Kamala Harris's serious sidestepping of Trump was so entertaining. A fandango of awkwardness. As it was George W. Bush, if you watch the footage, saying hello to Barack Obama, he kind of taps him with the back of his hand in the stomach. Kind of a, how are ya? Sort of a... within presidents, is that the kind of Illuminati handshake thing that goes on? Notice how George W. automatically stood up to greet Bill Clinton, a snub on Trump notwithstanding, because he doesn't go to meet him, a true gentleman. And of course, the MAGA Republicans who support Trump, who is the most popular political leader in America, you have to remember, Seamus and Killarney, he refers to them as Republicans in name only now, doesn't he, if they don't support him. So he'd presumably call W that. And say what you like about Trump, he didn't start a war that caused all of that trouble. So, you know, he has time, doesn't he? I can now see my roof in Blackwater, says Jane Purcell, because there's no frost there. Blackwater, I think there's about 10 places in Ireland named Blackwater. But I'm sure it's lovely wherever you are, Jane. Thanks for getting in touch. A1 Sharon was Georgie Burgess, played by Pat Laffin. A bit weird that Colm Meaney said that as the dad. Are you saying Colm Meaney does not say A1 Sharon? Is that a misremembered trope? Never says it. It's Georgie Burgess. Okay, well, I've been getting that wrong for years and I probably, to be honest, will continue to. Okay, let's get things up and running. We have a brilliant show for you this morning. We have our visiting critic is a criminologist, serious person who we've sent to do very unserious business. Well, it could be serious. In Smithfield, Trina O'Connor has been axe throwing. That is a fun hobby sport, a thing to do. And Anna Haw is a very bubbly presenter. She's originally from Tala. She does incredible things in fine dining. She's one of those successful Irish people doing amazing things in London. Myrtle is our restaurant over beyond. And she's a lovely show on BBC One. So we're going to chat to her where she's meeting people and talking about sort of heritage cuisine in Ireland and making it kind of fun and tasty and all that sort of stuff. 51551 on the text. Let's begin with a bit of Denise Chyla, shall we?